All right, Laura, we are going. So let's just start with a few deep breaths before we hear from you. Start off, and you can do this however you wish. It can be a version of the breathing we sort of went through, created together as sort of a self-regulation, self-soothing. But we're just going to take five or three or four or five deep breaths together, and ideally the exhale will be a little longer than the inhale. And just using the breath to say thank you to what you and I have come from. But to land in the here and the now and in our bodies, fully present. And to really focus our intention, our attention fully on this time for you so that it is incredibly useful and fruitful. Whenever you're ready, come on back.
Okay.
And let's start with you. Let's see how you're doing. I know that that is a broad question. So anything you feel like you want to catch me up on, let me know what's up, and then we'll focus on what to work on today.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
I went away for the weekend with this guy I've been dating. This was planned for a
Yeah.
while. This was the first time, this is the first time in 30 years I've gone away with a man other than Josh. And this is also the first time I've gone away other than a Hoffman retreat. It was a weekend
Yeah.
thing in the last 6 months since Josh moved
Wow.
out. And that retreat was just like, it was great. It was insanely intense personal work. So this was a weekend of actual just enjoyment.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. And
Wow.
I had a few pockets that were a little difficult just emotionally, but I worked through them on my own and they were completely fine. And I came away really pleased. In some ways, honestly, Leon, it had nothing to do with the other person. It was more about my ability to do this. Like I really felt like, I don't know, in some ways, like the fact that we got along really well and it was really great, like that was lovely. But more importantly for me, it was about like I can do this and not
Yeah.
fall apart, and I can be
Yeah.
present and enjoy myself. Anyway, so that was really good, and it was so good to get away. I never get away from the city or anything. And then
Yeah,
also
wow.
realizing just kind of understanding a little bit more of, wow, like living 24 hours in this vortex of divorce, custody, Jesus Christ, and then coming back was just flooded with concern and worry about Isabel. It's just had a
Oh.
hard time. And I really feel like, this divorce was the right thing to do because I don't miss Josh. I don't want to be with him. We are not good together, and that was the right thing for me, and this is good for me to grow. But I just have this unrelenting guilt and worry and concern that like my growth comes from the expense of now my daughter suffers. Like,
Right.
this was meant to
Right. Right.
happen for me to grow and learn, and now even the drama of, the new partner and the moving in and the baby, like this is all for me. This is when it all gets real and I get to grow, and this is important for me, and this is my curriculum.
Right.
And that all feels good and right. Like I can not only live with that, I can thrive from that, but it feels like my daughter is like this innocent caught in the middle, and that feels, I can't tell you how horrible it feels. I mean,
Yeah.
this is why we put off divorcing for 6 years. Because I knew that, like, oh my God, how can I do this to her when I know this is the right thing for me? So I just, it's like the guilt and the worry and the concern. It's really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Really.
Okay, that's a really good thing that we'll get into. And just how is that going? Like, it's so good that you were able to go away and, you know, and care for you. Are you mm-hmm. sleeping okay? Are you eating? Can you exercise? Just, like, how's all that going?
Yeah. The sleep isn't good, but that's only because my brother has shown up out of nowhere and he's staying with me. And he's really sweet, but he's with him here, it's not really so possible. Anyway, I need to get more sleep, but no, I mean, I'm eating and exercising and taking care of myself. And,
okay.
You know, this is, you know, Josh has Isabel for the first time in forever in LA they come back tomorrow. So it's also been able, which is good, to come back and have some space and clarity of how I feel and what's going on without parenting at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yep, I do.
Yeah.
Okay, so just so I get a sense, I'm also wanting you to, like, what you can take responsibility for and what you can't, you know, because there are two parents in this equation. What happened when you guys had the talks? What have you been noticing in Isabel? How, like, what is Josh doing to normalize his new life? Like, tell me a little bit about that stuff.
So this is very typical of our personalities. Oh, you know, I mean, typically, like, I'm the worrier and I'm the glasses half empty with most things or with many things. And Josh is, it's going to be fine. Like, let's go. And, like, all good, you know, as far as he's concerned when it comes to stuff. And he just, like, pushes through things. And, you know, there's no right or wrong to it. I actually, like, I could use a little bit of his go get 'em mentality. Mm-hmm. And I think he could use a little bit of mine, but that's no longer no longer a possibility for that to exchange. So his attitude with Isabel is, this is great. You've always wanted a bigger room. You always wanted your own room. You've always wanted a backyard. You don't know this, but, you know, you're going to make a great older sibling. Like, this is fantastic. This is great for everyone. And, you know, you're going to be a happier, better off kid. You're going to have more people in your life. And this is literally what he said to me. So I'm not trying to mind read.
Yeah.
And so he's just go, 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 go. And that's Josh. And Isabel's response has been shock, but she will do anything to please him. If he said, like, let's go jump off this cliff, she would be literally, she'd be like, okay.
Right.
And this dynamic of I'm awful and she just tolerates me and can't stand me and treats me pretty badly. And she's great with Josh. That's been like that from day one. So I also, in the midst of all this, have concerns that I can't really do anything about, that, like, she's going to choose to live with them.
Right.
But, you know, my mind goes in that direction, and, you know, I'm also aware of, like, yep, that is a concern, and there is nothing I can do about that at this point in time.
Yeah.
So the conversation about his partner and all of that was, I don't know if I told you, I mean, he basically just tried to sell her toys. To make it all seem exciting. And I'm sure she's just totally overwhelmed and she's gone out to dinner with them and it's totally weird seeing her dad with someone else, but she's shut down and won't talk to me.
Yeah.
She won't say a word other than leave me alone. You know, I don't want to talk about it. So that's where it's at.
And, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then has what we worked on last time been useful? I mean, should I do a little refresher?
Sure.
We were essentially working on kind of a macro level, but also on a micro level of, essentially when I see him, how can I, do I not kill him right then? But essentially, like, I see him and I find my center and I know I can do this. And that's the new kind of default pattern. Does that ring a bell at all?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And I mean, I've been doing that. I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't care so much what he thinks about me anymore.
Yeah.
So there's part of me, like, I'm doing my best to just be civil in front of my daughter when I'm around him.
Yeah.
But part of me is so fed up with him, especially just because of that conversation with her. He disappointed me so profoundly that it was like this new level of, I don't even know, honestly, Yana, how much time and effort I want to spend anymore working on my relationship with him.
Yeah.
I he's so gone. he's gone. He's so emotionally gone and absent, and our conversations are about, you know, custody, this and that. And I sort of feel like I'm at a point where I'm like, I can handle him, and he does his bullying thing, and I don't know, like, I'm not so concerned with my relationship with him anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like and maybe I'm also feeling like maxed out on trying to, like, I almost took my mental effort around him and trying to work something out. I don't know if I have it in me anymore right now.
Yeah, I get that.
If we can just show up and be polite and civil for my daughter, she's not stupid. She senses the anxiety in me and she notices, but at a certain point, like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure the end game right now, or in the midst of it, in the real midst of it, is to get rid of it, because I don't even know how that would be possible.
Like, yeah.
Like, it's tense and sort of uncomfortable and civil and weird for her, but I just don't know, like, I'm not sure I want to put the effort into trying to make it better, because I don't even know if that's possible, and maybe it's okay that it's just like this for now. And in time, it'll get easier. Does that make any sense? Like,
it really does. I mean, it seems to me like it has done its job, which is allow you to access civility rather than just, like, overwhelming anger. And even though that's there, you can access the civility, which is kind of what you were after. We're definitely not trying to get this to go away or anything. Yeah, that's good. It's functional. We got you, like, a functional way of being around him and the dynamic. Yes.
Right. And I was proud of myself. When he brought Nicole over after their dinner, I was the one that texted him and said, when you guys come, can I please come downstairs and meet you guys? And then, like, Isabel sees us all meeting. And I was like, I can do that. And seeing him with another person, I mean, she looks like she's 19. I mean, it made sense. Like, there was no – the only pain in the entire situation was Isabel right there. But I had zero pain or hurt or jealousy.
Yeah.
Like, just none. The pain was her being there in the middle of it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, great. So I have a few ideas as we're talking, but what would you like to focus on, or what would you like to have as a relief or as a focus for us?
How I can help ensure that Isabel is going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want. Like, that, you know, she's going to just, you know, side of this is she's going to feel a lot of love from people, you know, her mom, her dad, and this new partner. And she's going to be okay. And she's, you know, she's not going to be an angry, messed up kid. And, you know, that she's going to be okay. Like, that's kind of what I want. And I want to know, like, how can I do that? And, you know,
Okay. Now, I'm going to poke in a little bit around that because, of course, we can't control the future. We can't really control anybody else. But essentially, you want to know what you can do, what you can hold, practice, ways of being, like, whatever to help this, like, that's your aim, that's your desire.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And what I have been doing is, and that's because I've just also felt intuitively that's what she needs and wants from me, is, you know, she needs and wants me to be strong and positive and, like, just, like, keep going. And, like, just, like, keep the foundation of our home the same and the routine the same and just, like, be strong and don't be flattened by everything going on. So it was like, Josh, this is so, you know, historically, like, he jumps around like Tigger and he's kind of all over the place and I'm, you know, I'm pretty like even, but I have to be even and very, very positive.
So your question is, I know it's more nuanced than that, but partly how do you be positive, strong, and a foundation when you're also having a ton of worry and guilt and concern? Is that part of the conundrum?
The guilt is huge. Because at the end of the day, I mean, she doesn't know this, but I mean, at the end of the day, I was the one that told him to leave. I mean, I was the one that said, you have to get clean and sober. And like, I gave him an ultimatum. I'm the one that said, all right, I can't do this anymore. We're having an open relationship. I mean, she doesn't know any of this, but I think that's also my guilt that, you know, I could have sucked this up and we would still be married and I would not be having this conversation with you and she would have an intact family. So there's a lot of guilt, and this is something like, you know, I don't admit these pieces of, you know, I told Josh it's not an option. We're having an open relationship. You have to get clean and sober, otherwise I can't do this. Like, it, I don't, you know, I'm careful with who I share that with because, you know, he didn't walk out on me.
Right. Okay, this is great territory. I do want to report that I did a system update and Zoom is working. So it's up to you. We can stay right here or we can flip over to the visual medium.
Let's do the visual if it's working.
Okay.
Here we are, Laura, part two. So would it be all right if we did Reader's Digest shortened version of your own relationship with your mother or like the great mother, just a sense of that and just a sense that you feel like is important to tell me from your own experience of family, etc.
Sure.
And I'll just be looking for kind of to see if there's any, feels to me like there's specific things we can do of what are you doing and saying in your internal state around this? And then we can also kind of look at the macro, even metaphysical, like, are there just things we can tweak in the cosmos or in your patterning to open up different possibilities of how this dynamic is playing out with you and Isabel? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. So yeah, mother wound, family stuff.
Crazy Jewish mother. My mom and I, we've battled it out for years. I don't know. I mean, like, guilt and all that has been omnipresent. I think I told you when my parents got divorced, my mom fell apart, completely fell apart. And she always plays the victim role. So a lot of the work I've done in therapy is like not doing that. And I don't want to do that. My mom is very unpredictable in her moods, always has been. She's a big temper. She's difficult. She's a very difficult person. You know, in the end, I ended up sort of like being my mom to Josh, which is like, I get along with everyone in my life. I don't have drama with friends. I just don't have that. But with Josh, like, he sees the, you know, the witch, because I can be really mean to him. And my mom, like, has a lot of friends and she gets along with people and doesn't have drama with people for the most part. But then for her, more than for me, the people closest to her, like, get the hard edge.
Yeah.
So for Josh, in his experience of me, it's the same thing. Like, everyone thinks of me as a really nice, nice person. And, like, he knows, like, there's, like, a huge underbelly of anger and frustration and, yeah, all that. I've done a lot of forgiveness work with my mom, not with her, but me personally. So I've let go of a lot of stuff.
There's a little bit of noisy noise.
Oh, wait, now I can't hear you. Can't hear you. Nope.
Now we got it back.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I don't think it's you.
Okay.
You know, technology is so touchy, and I think that the updates are asynchronous, and they can just, like, I mean, you got to stay on top of this stuff, like, daily. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, we're good. Just let me know if anything is shrieking in your ear, and we will adjust it.
Okay.
And do you feel like there's any similarities between your mom and you and Isabel, or not so much?
My mom, like, she's a big worrier. I'm a big worrier.
Yeah.
And she worries about everything. I don't really, not a big worrier in general anymore. I used to be, but now I'm not. Like, it all comes down to Isabel.
Yeah.
Like it's like the worry is concentrated around her. So that worry component.
Yeah.
Is really big. And that kind of, like, glass half empty, fear-based stuff.
Yeah.
Similar.
It's very reductive, but it sounds to me, and then let's check in your system and your own part and reality, but it sounds to me a little like worry and guilt got smooshed in with synonymous with an expression of love.
Yes.
Even though it's not the ideal expression of love. But there's, you know, that's what happens. We get these family legacy ways of showing love or devotion
And the dynamic of parenting is always Josh was fun. He's it's so gendered too in some ways, but, like, he's fun, he's light, he has the loud music on. I am what's getting lunch ready, worry, concern, it's, like, so cliched and in such clear boxes. And now different households, you know, I'm pretty relaxed with her, but our time together, like, we don't do fun stuff because she won't do anything with me, but I, like, take care of her.
Yeah.
I make the meals, I clean up, I'm there for her, I make sure she brushes her teeth, I give her, you know, I sing her songs good night. Like, I'm, like, the caretaker in that way. When she's with Josh, they're having fun. And I actually, to be honest, I don't have a huge problem with that in a way.
Yeah.
The worry and the guilt component is not good, but the caretaking and being in that role, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like I need to change it. It's the worry and the guilt that's just not, it's just awful.
And if you weren't leading with worry and guilt, what might you lose that you value? And I get you're not loving it, but let's just poke in a little bit.
So I've done that. I've tried energetically, and I've done that to just lead with being there and just kind of hanging out with her. No worry, no guilt, just being there. And I can do that. And that's nice. It's better. It's relaxing. I'm not hovering and, it feels a little like I'm being a friend as opposed to a mother. That doesn't feel so good or so right, but I try sticking with it and, like, letting it be. And she responds better to that when I don't lead with guilt and worry. But it takes a real conscious effort for me not to. It's very hard for me not to.
And we'll call that leading with presence and love rather than guilt. Is that right? Or kind of just being there?
I think being there. The love is too tied up with worry.
Yeah, okay.
And guilt for me. So.
Okay. Great, really great. What lets you know that love equals worry and guilt?
It's my mom. That was my model.
Yeah.
Because my dad was always sort of stepped away emotionally, if not physically. So it was really her. And that was always what she led with. And I felt loved and taken care of, but it was always led with guilt and worry. Always.
Okay. Let's fish around for a few of the places your eyes looked and just see if there's some more information about which version of mom you were tracking. Is that cool?
Okay.
If we head back in that territory. I noticed two, so why don't we just investigate and see. I'll direct your eyes to them both and we can see which one feels like it just has more of the mom feeling, more of the worry and guilt feeling. We'll check and see. So one is up and to your right. So if you kind of just keep moving your eyes up and to your right, it's a little, yep, kind of right about there. Now you just kind of make any, like some little micro adjustments and see if anything feels like it lands squarely. Goes chunk, clunk.
No, this is fine.
That one feels okay. This is the one I used first, so let's just check it out for a little bit. And my test is always to see, do you feel at ease or a relief in your body as your eyes are looking there, or does it feel icky or uncomfortable in any way?
It feels okay.
Okay. All right, let's hold that one and let's try the second one. So got a sense of where that one is if we want to come back to it. So the second one is more up and to your left. And now will you just point your nose a hair toward me in the screen? Yeah, and then you just move just your eyes. Yeah, there we go. And maybe a click back toward me. That one seems like it might have some information too. How's your body feeling as your eyes are looking up there?
This is like not good and kind of depressing.
Okay. All right. I think that's kind of, you know, yay. We've got some good information. Yeah. And so you're welcome to look up there and look away. Right? Like look up, we'll get some information, look away. You don't have to be fixated up there. But if you just look up there for a second and just listen into it, it's like, what is your brain referencing? What is your brain looking at?
It's all past stuff.
And Laura, if you can kind of almost sort through them like they're a stack of pictures back when pictures could stack, and just sort of see, like, you know, if you just gently allow them to sort of sort through them to some of the earliest. What are some of the earliest?
It's like all the things I've done wrong, like all the ways I've been shitty.
Okay.
To other people. To myself, like it's just all the things of like that I've been shitty and when I've gotten caught, when I've lied, when I've done shitty things, like it's that place.
Okay. Does this feel like we're on the right track, that it is related to mom and guilt and worry? Or does it feel like not quite the same?
I mean, this space feels more like more in relation to Josh into my mom, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's see. If you can kind of see about sorting through those to some of the earliest ones. And it's going to be sort of a feeling or even an image or a little movie, and just see if we can get to some of the earliest ones. What's going on for that?
Just being an angry kid, an unhappy kid.
Yeah.
Like, just, it's just a, yeah, I just sort of like see myself at different ages going back, you know, even toddler, and like just kind of like pissed off all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just check it. So if we've got Laura as a toddler, so we're talking like 3, something like that, 2 or 3?
3 or 4, yeah.
Just take a moment, if you would, to step inside her body if it feels like that's okay. And your body, your adult woman's body, is going to get smaller, shorter. Just see if you can step inside there and, you
know, and keep my eyes in this direction.
You can, or you don't have to. If it's uncomfortable, you can kind of do whatever. We got it, right? Your brain's referencing it. But just step inside your experience and let your heart be with her heart. Feel with her feelings. Like, what's going on here? What is she aware of? Are there any other people in the...
I'm aware that my mom is constantly stressed out.
Yeah.
And so I feel that, and I'm identifying with that, and it doesn't feel good, but like I sort of just take it on, and it feels kind of crappy that the person in charge of me is always so stressed out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Stressed out, does it seem like that goes with worry and guilt? It seems like it.
Like worried, guilt, anger, frustration.
Yeah.
There's also like, an interesting polarity of like appreciate what you have because it's amazing, and like nothing's ever good enough. Mm. So it's a frustration. There's a frustration there.
Feels so Jewish, or else I had the same Jewish people.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know. Yes.
It's so Jewish, and yes. It's you know, and it's also the there's like a heaviness to it. Like there's nothing light and nuanced.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the part I'm most curious about, is where she decides to take it on. I'm not sure if it feels like a decision or a choice, but she says, so let me see which one fits the best. I'll take this on because that's just what we do as women or as this family. I'll take this on so that it we can be connected. I'll take this on to share the burden. I'll take this on so I'll take it away from you, and then you could be happy, and then we could have a good time. Any of those fit?
No. What comes to mind is I'll take this on because there's no other choice.
Okay.
Like this is my only choice.
If I'm going to experience love and care, it comes whole cloth. Like I just take it because this is what's on offer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also a little bit of something around like scarcity versus abundance. Like
yeah.
This is the only choice because there's scarcity rather than any recognition that there are choices or possibilities.
Okay. Love and attention is scarce. Love and levity.
Love and levity, or like love and like ways of being, is scarce.
Yeah.
Like it's like your mother, you're like locked into a certain, or you love your kids and you're just, this is what it means. You do this or you be this.
Okay, really great.
And the world is a scary place, so, you know, you be scared.
Right.
Like, there's a lot to worry about. There's a lot to worry about.
Was everybody worrying in her family or only mom? Like, did mom have to look at doing the worrying for everybody?
Yeah, because my dad was kind of was checked out. So my mom had to do all the worrying for everyone.
Okay. I mean, you know, some of this is, for example, just, you know, to use an example, it's probably happened where, you know, the gender roles you were speaking of before, where the dad's like, why do you have to plan? And you go to the playground and he didn't plan to bring the food because he didn't have to think about it. And then 3 hours later, there's a meltdown. I know the child's not dying, but they're having a total meltdown.
Right.
So in a way, that's not an extreme example of, there actually needs to be someone who's paying fucking attention.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to do it, I have to do it. So there is some reality.
Yes.
To the place that this, your mother or you are holding.
Yes.
But we also want to understand it's occupying more space than it needs to, but also to understand it's
yes.
not making this shit up, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. This noodle this, feel this, kind of, yeah, see if this feels true. If there was a contract, sort of a little vow from Lara to mom, not spoken, of course, but if you just sort of put the feelings into words, if there's sort of a, I promise to, or I vow that, dear mom, I promise to, is there anything that completes that sentence here?
Try to protect and keep my daughter safe.
Hold on. Let me go back to the toddler, Lara.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So sorry. Yep. I got you out of there, but let me bring you back in.
Okay. I was just angry at her for being like that. So there's just a lot of anger towards her.
Yeah.
I mean, the contract perhaps is, you know, you're full of worry and guilt and concern, then I guess that I am too, but I'm also resentful and frustrated because I'm sort of confused and frustrated that I'm feeling this, but I'm also feeling it towards you because this is not a good way to feel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll feel it and I'll also resent you.
Yeah.
Okay. Will you just feel around in the toddler Lara's experience to see if there's anything important that's going on that we might have missed before?
And there's something about, there's also a false front that I saw because she was so nice and sweet with other people and not really that way with her family. So there's also just, I think, some confusion around around that, some resentment around that.
Why can't you be sweet with me?
Yeah.
If you have access to this, what would that toddler have wanted? Sweetness, play, gentleness? Could she tell what she would have liked?
I think just some levity.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it felt like everything just felt really heavy.
Okay.
And also, you know, for her own reasons, just my mom's like operating out of fear all the time. Just constant fear.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, just constant fear. So it's very little levity.
I one time did some similar work. My family, none of my family were in the Holocaust, but there was some stuff around pogrom wars, you know, it's like 1915 to 1920s or something. But I remember, you know, and this is all just, I don't know if this happened, but, you know, and there was something that I either imagined or actually happened, like just a way of being for my mom. It was in no way connected to anything, but just like holding in her system that kind of fear that the soldiers could come through the wall, like literally like bayonet their way through the wall at any moment. And I think that's part of what is encoded in the fear. Like it's a specific one for Jewish
absolutely.
People.
My mom still runs a dialogue of, you know, everyone's anti-Semitic. You just have to like peel away a little bit and like you'll find it. Like paranoia.
Right.
Paranoia.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's always been there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is good. Really nicely done. So it strikes me, well, actually, I'm going to ask you first. So if you just step out of the toddler, Laura, for a second and just come back to you. So if I ask you first, if we could bring something to that toddler, an understanding, a feeling, a resource, a knowledge that would really help, profoundly help, what do you think it would be?
Something around, you know, the world is a good place and there's a lot of joy to be found. And not everything has to be so serious.
Great. Okay.
Something like that.
Great one. Okay. I want us to do something a little bit different, and we'll use that in just a minute. Go with me if you would for a moment. So 3 or 4 year old toddler Laura is there, and about how old would your mother have been when you were 3 or 4?
31, 32.
Okay. So we'll say 32, just to be sure. And what's her name?
Karen.
Karen, okay. So we'll just put our attention on this young woman, 32-year-old Karen, who's running. Like, we just look at her, we just feel into her, we know tremendous fear running the show. Guilt, frustration, worry, etc. Now, if you just feel a little bit into what I call the back compartment. This is, we can also sense it, it's just a little further back. We don't really have permission to know that, but we can sense it. It's a little bit like what she thinks about herself, what she hopes isn't true about herself, or kind of thing in there. What's your sense of what's in the back compartment for Karen?
Stress about being a mom, worry about her kids being safe and staying alive. Concern that she's not as good a mother as her mother was.
Okay.
Like there's high expectations. Sort of this like have to get this right.
Yeah.
Do it right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And is it a sort of I'm inadequate? Like I get that there's I'm not as good as my mother, but under that is a sense of like I'm not doing it right or I'm not good enough?
Maybe, probably.
Okay.
That's probably where the fear comes in.
Okay. And we're going to guess that that didn't all get started when she was 32. Like, this has probably been going for a while. I mean, it can come out when you have kids, but probably was there before. Will you just grow her younger in your mind's eye? Just grow her younger to about the age it feels natural or it feels right that she was probably learning this fear, or that she has to get it right, or, you know, and that actually lives depend on her getting it right, or that there might be some inadequacy. What's your sense about that?
Around 13, she was the oldest, and a lot of pressure to be responsible, be perfect, be good. And she was, I mean, she was a really good kid.
Okay.
Yeah, so a lot of self-criticism and, you know, being hard on herself. She has to really step it up to impress parents.
Okay. Let's just put a little mark there at 13 and just see, was it all like smooth sailing before that when she was 5 or 6, 3 or 4, and it really got
I think it just all was always just very stressful, like having to be like the best oldest kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does your attention go more toward 13 or more toward a little younger, almost like 3 or 4? We want to kind of just see where it all gets started.
Yeah, I mean, very young with her. Could be 3 or 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll keep 13, but we'll also do 3 or 4 as well. Okay. And does it feel like the same kind of thing might be useful? So we look at this 3 or 4 year old toddler, Karen. She called that when she was 3 or 4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would it be useful for her to know that the world is actually a good place? There is joy to be found, like that same, even a bit of levity. Would that have made a difference for her?
I don't think she would have fit into her family.
Well, no, this is all very true. This is the problem with spiritual growth and personal growth, yes.
Right.
But for her as a being, would that be useful for her to know? Okay. But we have ways to work with this. So first, let's just work with you, adult Laura, here today, and just have you, because we want to have you feel that for real, for truth, for right now, like the world. And I get there's crappy things happening all the time. And there isn't generally, we don't live where there's ethnic cleansing. We don't live where in the middle of gangs, for the most part. Depends how far you are you away from the heart of it in San Francisco. But the world is pretty, it's a different world. There is joy to be found. Like, can we have you feel that fully in your body and own it and believe it?
Yeah.
Okay. World is generally a good place and there's joy to be found.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just see if you can hold that feeling and knowing in your body as we've done before. And then just take your time, but go ahead and step into your imagination of the 3 or 4 year old Karen. And step in, meaning like put your heart where hers is, put your fingers where her fingers are, toes where hers are, and use your lungs to breathe this in. And just slowly and gently, like, you know, putting a drop of ink into a glass of water, just let it really gently start to permeate her body. You can give her little shutters on her eyes so that she can still be in the family, not have to worry about does she fit anymore, but just so she can have this beautiful truth on the inside but not have to worry about how it's perceived. And Laurie, just take the time to drop this ink into her system. You let me know when it feels like it's really in there.
Okay.
How is the 3 or 4 year old Karen with that? What is different for her when she gets to feel that and know that?
More relaxed. Doesn't absorb all the stress from her parents.
Nice. Okay. More Teflon. It's just good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like she's
less seeing it, more Teflon.
She's not absorbing and metabolizing it. She just sees it.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Really great. Is it a difference in her body? Like, is she holding less fear? Seems like it. It's relaxation.
Mm-hmm. Just more relaxed.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. If you sort of feel in there, does it feel like we're missing anything for that 3 or 4 year old, or does that feel?
No, it feels right.
It's good. So we're going to have you do with her as you've done with your own self, if you would. So 3 or 4 year old, he's very handsome, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes. So start to grow that 3 or 4 year old Karen up. And the knowing, the relaxation, and the not absorbing of the fear and worry and the guilt in the system, that just becomes more natural, more robust, fuller, deeper, brighter, richer. You just grow her up until she's 32 again. Knowing full well she's still there in the family, but you can just notice there's a lot that would be different. You just take the time you need. Let me know when she's back at 32.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So if we then imagine, here is this 2.0 version of Karen the mom. See, look, she seemed different at 32.
Mm-hmm.
What do you notice?
It's different energetically.
Right. Will you just take a few moments to have that 2.0 version of Karen Mom be with 3 or 4 year old Laura? You can imagine she's going to tell things verbally to her child, or there's going to be an energetic transmission. There's going to be some things they need to download from this version of mom to this child. You go ahead and do that download process or teaching or learning process.
Okay.
So if we check with a 3 or 4 year old Laura, how's she doing with that? Like, what's different with that transmission from that mom?
Lighter and just more spaciousness.
Okay. Okay.
More choices in the world.
Okay, that's big. That's great. Okay. Okay, we love that. Does lighter mean levity?
Yeah, levity and just more humor, just energetically, that sort of that stubborn frustration isn't there as much.
Okay. Okay. All right. Really great. Is anything off? And if you like, anything feel like it's missing for that 3 or 4 year old? Did we miss anything?
That's what it's sort of like. Is like, what happened to my Jewish mother?
Yes.
It's okay. I'll go with it. Yeah. No, yeah. Nothing.
Yeah. And obviously, your mom's the way your mom is. And what we're doing is taking a clear-headed look at what would have been inevitable if there had been more love in the system, if there had been more of the understanding of joy and possibility, right? So we're not blowing smoke up anybody's ass. Like, we know your Jewish mom is your Jewish mom, and this would be true if there had been a little more available. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we want, just because she didn't have access to this, she meaning your mom and you, didn't have access to this kind of levity or access to possibility, doesn't mean you don't have the right to it. Doesn't mean that it isn't a birthright or it isn't a nutrient. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, good. But did you mean anything more than kind of a quick, where's my Jewish mother? Does it feel like I lose my mother? I lose someone who's holding down the fort? Is there any loss, any concern?
No.
Okay.
No, I feel more just grateful. Like it's a grateful surprise.
Okay. And there's still someone who can remember to pack snacks when you go to the playground, or who can, okay, great. Or like, I'm not going to leave my child alone with the strange, weird uncle that everybody's little, right. There's none of that. Okay, great.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's kind of complete the circuit and throw that 3 or 4 year old Lara up with that, everything she learned from her 2.0 mom, this levity, this more relaxedness, this humor, spaciousness, et cetera, just have it grow bigger and brighter and just more natural in her system as she grows up from 3 or 4 to Wednesday afternoon.
It's hard. I'm trying to do it and I keep getting these flashes of like mistakes I've made. Weird.
Well, let's hang out with one of them. And so we're not, I know it can be a little bit hard to like, what do I do with that? Let's hang out with one of them. We're not asking a mistake to not be made. I mean, probably you would have made different choices and picked a different family, but yeah. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, it's a mistake that, my apartment is small, and when Isabel's home with me, I can't talk on the phone about anything personal. It's kind of a no-brainer. And about, God, this was maybe a year ago or 9 months ago, before Josh left, I made the mistake. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I gone to a political meeting, and I was sharing with her about some attention I got from men, and I was talking really loudly, and Isabel, I thought, was listening to music, and she wasn't, and she heard the whole conversation, and I was so angry at myself, and I tried doing this repair work with her. I was like, it's about when you get attention from men and women because you're speaking up and like it feels good in the world. And I tried I tried to speak to it and explain it so it wouldn't be left in a confused or weird. Anyway, it's weird. I don't know why. I'm like trying to do this and this mistake, this memory comes up.
Totally. Well, let's see if so what we're gonna do is we've got the Lara as it's historically accurate. We've got that version. And then let's have the Lara who is from a legacy, right? She's from the 2.0 mom who carries within her, like there is joy to be found. There is levity. There is humor. Just a relaxed kind of Teflon ability to not absorb everything. And let's just let her be in that awkward mistake conversation too. Let's see what would have been available if she had been there too.
Yeah, it's sort of like my brain is just sort of saying like, nope, we're not going to do this. We're going to go to the place where you made a mistake.
Right.
It's much more comfortable there. And there's a little bit of like, nice try to do this nice work, but no, like we're going to stay here with the hard stuff. Anyway.
Yeah. Is there one that maybe is a little less intense we could try? Like,
that's the one that's just kept, that's front and center. And I'd like to think that I did a good enough job of my sort of half-assed repair work around that.
Well, so that's like a year ago or something.
Yeah.
And before that, did it seem okay? That was like one of the main hitches that was like, no, we are not going to bring any levity into this. Were there any other ones that stopped you?
No, that was the only one.
Okay. Let's try just letting it be what it is and see if you just kind of like do a little detour around it and go, okay, brain.
The way that I can let it be as it is and have a detour is I have to just in my mind be like, you know what? Isabel let that go and it didn't mean anything that interesting or important to her, Laura, so move on. Like, right. I need to convince myself that it didn't screw her up in some way and like just know that, and then I can move forward. Like, now I can do that and I'm like, ugh, I'm overthinking that, and yeah, let it be, and she's okay and I didn't do any harm. That's how I can move forward from that. I have to imagine and convince myself of that.
I think that's fine. I think this is something that I've been thinking about since we first started talking today. So let's pause just for a second and see if actually integrating this might be helpful. I think we need to have a stance for you, for yourself, which is a possibility aside from I'm always going to be harming her at every, I'm always fucking it up with her. I desperately want her to be okay. I have no proof of when I'm not okay with her, when I am, and it just feels like I'm ruining her life. We want an option besides that, which isn't, it's all fun and games, obviously.
I do think, though, that rings true. It's like I'm always harming her because of my choices. Marrying Josh, not being able to tolerate him, making him leave. Like, it's like I am causing her suffering.
Right. So we are really close with this kind of leading with being there, bringing some more levity or spaciousness, or like actually not bringing the worry and the fear forefront to being with her. We're close. It's not totally complete. Let me just share this. It's not a bypass, but let me just see if this gets us somewhere useful. So I'm sure you've encountered this so much in your own work and training. You know, we all get kind of messed up from life and our parents in some way or the other. It's less or more. It's so hard to tell what are the times. You know, sometimes it'll be obvious. It's like, yeah, that time when my mother locked me in the closet for a week. You know,
yeah.
Those are obvious. And then there's the kind of like, I heard my parents arguing about money and I was 6 months old in the next room, like how, what? Or they sneezed and I thought X, Y, Z. So I'm not bypassing, but I want to see if we can get you to a place where actually you're like, it isn't any of my business to be wondering which of the things I do are going to affect her negatively. Not that you should be irresponsible and not care about the impact. That's not what I'm saying. But if we can take some of your attention off of, I'm constantly harming her. Does that land? If you didn't have the kind of like self-flagellation or like taking every on all the responsibility for this. Because, you know, if Josh wasn't an addict, it might have been easier to stay married. You know, I'm not saying it's all his fault either. It's just, it takes two. There's a lot of interlocking dynamics. You tried, you know, I'm not letting either of you off the hook, but if you were to not be carrying the burden for both you and Josh, and were to not be kind of paying penance in that way, what feels like the worst thing that could happen?
That then I'm condoning everything, I'm saying it's okay, and then like Isabel is left sort of with no advocate, with no real protector, with no like I'm like throwing caution to the wind, and I'm like, well, your dad's with someone else and they're having a baby, and you know, your life is upside down, and like it's letting, it's not taking care of her. And I mean, you're right. It's like someone has to worry here, and Josh doesn't. So it's like, fuck. I have to do all the worrying. And he makes these huge decisions that impact her so profoundly. And he's just like, no, these are not mistakes. These are awesome decisions. This is all going to be good. And it just like pushes me into the corner of, no, this is, you know, I have to be on the other side of the ring with it. It's just...
Let's just hang for a second with that phone call. So here's the arena that I'm in. Tell me if this feels right to you. Is, so we've got one side, I have to bear all the guilt, and the other is, I'm just like Josh, and things are gonna get missed, and Isabel won't be taken care of. And we don't have anything in the middle.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And I think the thing that lands us in the middle is this very strange topic of, tell me if you feel like this is right, if I'm hitting it on the head, is self-forgiveness. So it's really hard for something to move in the system when we aren't able to forgive. And I am definitely not, because we think if I forgive myself for that, then I'm saying it's okay. I'm condoning it. And I don't know about you, but I don't really hear forgiveness or self-forgiveness being talked about in a particularly nuanced way. It sounds like you just go, oh, that was okay, I'm over it now. It's fine that you did that, let's move on. Self or other person. And of course it's not okay. It's not okay. And yet, I mean, I think we're in the territory of sober. Like, I did that. Plenty of other people in my shoes would have done that. I did my best. I see that. Here's how I'm doing it differently now, or here's how I would like to do it differently now. And can I let myself down off the cross?
Yeah.
Could we just see about that? Doing a little bit of that, whatever comes organically with the phone call example?
Yeah.
Does anything shift? Let me shut up for a minute and just see.
If I can't really stay with myself to do it. I have to just, again, kind of convince myself that Isabel was not so impacted by it. And then I can do the forgiveness work. It's like, right, I'm not a robot. I'm a human being. I'm going to make mistakes. So does everyone else. And it wasn't so horrible for Isabel. She survived. She was okay. She probably doesn't even remember that phone call now. Nothing huge shifted for her. I just have to have faith that happened. Now I can forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seems okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's like a board certification process for this, but you know, I like it. It'll do.
Yeah, no angels that come down and give me a certificate. Yeah.
I would love it if they did.
Right, but that is where, of course, therein lies the work of there's no outside validation. We have to do that. I have to do that work myself. Otherwise, it's not. It's just suffering. Yeah. It's, no one's going to give me the pass, or I'm not going to believe it from an outside source anyway.
So if you've sort of forgiven yourself for that, even though it started with, I got to start with Isabel's okay. What's the difference in your body energetics between that and like everything? It's my fault. If it was not for me, we'd still be in the marriage. You know, everything since day one has been me harming her. Like, what's the difference between for all of the guilt and sort of a space of really clear-headed ownership, but forgiveness?
There's something just different here, like I just can breathe a little bit easier. The guilt and all that feels really narrow. It's like there's just everything's very narrow.
Yeah.
A lot of fear and just narrowness, where the other one is okay, like let's work with what is.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, and some compassion also of, you know what, I did the best I could. I was a different person when I married Josh. I made lots of mistakes, but I also did the best I could given my state of consciousness at the time. So with that said, you know,
okay.
The best I
could. Now this is important. This is great, Laura. So this way of being, of Laura being with Laura, which is not putting my head in the sand and patting myself on the back and saying everything's fine. It isn't a narrow taking all the guilt in the room, but it is a very sober, loving, clear relationship with self.
Yeah.
And that is a beautiful legacy to be living for Isabel. Like, that is a very different mother that she's downloading information from. So you having this ability and strengthening this muscle isn't really good for her. Like, it is good mothering.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's that gray, it's that in between area, like you said, of total me with everything is a mess and total concern and worry. Josh, everything's gonna be great. it's something.
Yes.
And energetically, it's not. Energetically, those two extremes to me feel exhausting and unsustainable, and like there's like a fuse that's just burning. Whereas there, that middle, like that's like this is a marathon. So, like it's a sweet spot.
It feels so sweet, and it feels that it is teaching her, without having a conversation necessarily, that like she can be with herself. She doesn't have to hide from herself. You know, like Josh is stuffing a lot in order to pretend everything's fine. Or, it just feels like Like I can really look at myself in the mirror and be good with me. And that is a very good thing for her knowing to learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, nice. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's do this because I think it's kind of a nice way to just wrap it up. Let's have you go ahead and continue on. We got to almost here today.
Yeah.
And then you're bringing also this middle area. I don't know what we call it, but.
So it's growing up my 3 or 4 year old self with the mother who grew herself up differently.
With the, growing the 3 or 4 year old up with the qualities or the, okay, the beingness or the understanding or, you know, you're just growing the 3 or 4 year old up, but she's different now because of what she learned from her 2.0 mother.
Okay.
And wherever it feels natural to add in this, like, I don't know if we call it self-forgiveness, but whatever, this kind of middle area.
Okay.
If she brings it up from 3 or 4, great, or if she catches it along the way, but yeah, let's bring that one in.
Okay.
Oh man, good thing I kind of looked up at the time. I forgot, I thought I kind of had in my mind we're going to 5:30. Okay, all right. This feels like even a natural place to pause. Does it feel like anything is said, undone, unattended to here?
No, this felt really good, Liana.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I know this is good. It spans the kind of cosmic and the what do I do moment by moment in at Isabel's presence. If you want to hop on the phone and do this a little more specifically, this is great. I want to just let this be as it is, and I want to give you the option. Just try this on your own. If not, we'll jump on the phone to dial it in. In fact, let's have a 10-minute conversation so that this isn't our last rushed goodbye, okay? But if you want a little bit of homework, home practice.
I like homework, yeah.
So again, this might take a little bit longer to set up in your mind, but this is a little bit like to acknowledge you're doing something very different than many generations before you by doing this, by saying, I'm not gonna conflate guilt, worry, and stress with love. Is pretty huge in the Jewish ancestry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this has been really helpful in my own self, and for a lot of people is the visuals. You can just like imagine you got over your left shoulder is your mom and over your right shoulder is your dad. And then all the left, like all the moms and the grands and the grands and the grands go up there So you got the mother lineage behind you to the left and the father lineage behind you to the right. You know, turn around and then look at them. So there you are, your Law, the last in the line. In your experience, right? There's Isabel, but and you kind of look at them and you can imagine that you're like, this guilt and love sandwich, this isn't mine to carry anymore. And you can use this line if you want. Do you know honor by carrying this? Like, just, I'm giving it back. And you can visualize it through the physical gesture, but it is just a symbolic, like I may be the first to be stepping into a new possibility of how to love.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Does that seem okay to set you up with that? Just play with that yourself. It's really powerful.
And can I ask, I just want to say something else that I feel like part of this is also, and I'm curious what you have to say about this, of the fear mind goes into this place of, not just for me, but I'll speak about it for Isabel, like her future's not going to be okay. She's not going to be okay. This is going to fuck her up. Like everything's going to be edgy for her. It's not safe on a few different levels. And then getting, one reason I really wanted to do this with this work with you today is realizing, like, if I hold that even secretly, like I feel like that very well could happen because I'm sort of like holding that and creating that context. Whereas even in the midst of this kind of this a little bit of insanity with, you know, her dad's with someone new, they have a new house, she stays with them and there's a baby coming, blah, 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 that like her future is going to be good. She's going to be okay. She's going to feel loved. She's going to be a sweet, smart, great kid. And that this isn't a false belief to just pour some sugar on some crap, but like, I want to like really embody that and hold that so that then that will happen.
Yeah, you're right on it. I'm totally with you. And I think the more, like we've got that, you know, worry brain that is shrill and loud and strong and it's really, and it's ancestral.
Yeah.
And part of your work is to like go to the brain gym, like go to the belief gym and really embody, no, I say that this is just as real a reality for my daughter. And this is what I'm going to lead with and the air I'm going to breathe and what I'm going to exude and just strengthen that other muscle. I'm not saying that that other one doesn't exist, but so does this. This is also just as likely as a possibility. And I say this is the one that I am focused on.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
So yes, and if you want to, you know, get back in there and work with that, that's great. But why don't we let this be for today? And then I'm traveling with my kiddo for a week. And on in a week, can we just jump on the phone? We'll do 10, 15 and we're on Zoom.
Thank you.
See where we're at. Okay, great. And will you reach out for me for that? Just can I leave that in your hands? Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. I'll look forward to that.
Okay.
Awesome. Beautiful work. Beautiful, beautiful work.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Yeah, my honor. And I'm glad we're not totally done on the fly right now.
Yes.
All right, let me run for now. And I'll talk to you very soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.